hopefully we're good now. Got everything back to squared away. So here we are. It's August. What is today? Well, come on, I've been saying it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's August 5th. We are here. We have arrived. We have made it. It's awesome. It is awesome. I'm glad to see all of you guys here to celebrate. We've got a cookout and ice cream celebration after the service today, and that's just going to be a blast. And you are all invited to the party, and you don't have to bring anything. So if you're here and you're like, oh, I didn't even know about it, it's okay. This is the best kind. You just show up. It's a thank you from us as leadership to you guys for your faithfulness, for your cheerful hearts, and just the consistency of your faith through the year thus far, from February to now, and the awesome things that we've seen in your faith shown through how you've handled your finances this year. So that's been awesome, awesome, awesome. And so we want to say thank you to all of you, and so that's the cookout and ice cream celebration right after this service. So then maybe that'll be a motivation for me to keep the pedal down. So we've talked about our core values. And I told you guys we were going to have these. You are going to hear these ad nauseum. If you go a span and you're like, you know what, I haven't heard those, remind me. Okay, the rest of the church might not like you, but it'll be good for all of us. Okay, so I'm kind of feel like just saying something and then once it's said, but I know with things like core values, things like a mission statement, it's got to be over and over and over and over and over again. We have to be saying these things in our sleep. So we got our core values. Core value number one, God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. Core value number two, devoted to God, a full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Core value number three, Tammy, are you scrambling to try and get these? She's writing. I tell you what, I've got these, so you don't have to worry about it. I told you we'd have them. We've got little half sheets that will be, here, I'll cover up the mission statement there. We got little half sheets that will be at the information center after the service. I can always print more. I didn't want to go overboard with printing those. And we will have little pamphlets. The goal is to have all the scriptures in here. I could not fit them. There are so many of them. So we've got the main scripture and then all the references to the other ones in the pamphlet version. And so we've got those, and those will also be at the information center. So you don't have to worry about writing these down. You will have access. They are on the website. And after today, the mission statement will be on the website. So you can go to our website and you've got all the core values right there. If you go to, you know, the About Us part of our website, right down there on the menu, it's got core values, mission, vision. And they are all listed there right now. And the mission statement will be there sometime later today, early this week. And we will have that going. So core value number three, growing God's kingdom. Increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. That's just straight from the Great Commission. Core value number four, actively investing. We're going to be a church that actively invests. Taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes. That's a powerful word in that statement. Doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. And then core value number five, we talked about last week, connecting with people. That's what we're going to be about. That's connecting with each other. That's connecting with people outside the church. That's a twofold connection. Connecting with people, that's building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. So all of these core values, they actually come out of our mission statement. We decided as a leadership to go reverse order here as we build up to our mission statement. We wanted to really develop and define the core values, and I appreciate that approach. It actually makes today really cool to be able to tie all these in together. So we decided to share the core values and how they all connect into the mission statements. But for us, in the process, what you do is you do the mission statement first, because that's the goal. That's the focus point. That's where we're all funneling towards, is that mission statement. That is the pinpoint, the bullseye. And then after we got the mission statement, these six words, Then we developed out of that, okay, what are the core values? Where did this mission statement come from? From our hearts, from Scripture, and how did this come about? And so originally we had four, if you remember me telling you that, and then we added the fifth one, which actually became the first one. because we realized we were missing something that we didn't want to let go as being obvious. We wanted to go on to state the obvious. And then, of course, in Scripture, God was all right with stating the obvious, that you will choose him first. That Jesus, when he said, love God and love others, he said, love God. That's the first and greatest commandment. So he didn't mind saying it, so we decided, you know, yeah, that'll be number one. And so we got five. So we got the mission statement, and then we pulled these core values out of it. The mission statement, the aim, what Miami Town Church of Christ is going to be about. What God's church here in Miami Town is going to be about. That's what a mission statement answers. A mission statement answers the question, why does this church, this specific church, exist? What is our purpose? A mission statement is a purpose statement. It differs from a vision statement. We're going to be talking about a vision statement coming up. Some people get those confused. And we've got a vision statement that will be coming up later fall, early winter. Get my seasons in order here. So we've got that in the plans to move towards, but we've got some other pieces to put together in renewing the focus before we get to vision. And vision will be to help our church see how we are going to live out the mission statement. So it's a vision statement is very practical, very application-based, where a mission statement is very, it's very ideal. This is the ideal. This is where we want to shoot for. So we took many things into consideration while we were working through and praying through this very important part of this process of renewing the focus. We revisited Jesus's ideal church and really looked back through that and what Jesus saw as the ideal church, how the church is supposed to view leadership, how the church is supposed to view evangelism, how the church is supposed to view community or fellowship. And went through all those things and really dug back into that whole study all over again as a leadership and sorted through that even more than we had originally. We went back through and we looked at all the strengths, the opportunities, the things that the SWAT team brought to us, and looked back through all the lists and the different things they had and all the different things that they had shared, and looking into what our church looks like, what our church is capable of, what opportunities we have, what strengths we already have in place. And we looked at the demographic study, the information that came from the demographics team, and the demographic study itself. That whole, oh my goodness, Patty, how many pages was that? It was a lot of pages. And I have been through that document multiple times, as I know that Patty has as well. And we went back through it again, just as a leadership, looking back through all the demographic study. You know, what does our community around the church, the physical church, look like? And then... that'll probably be part of our vision down the road is looking at our individual communities, because that's really the community of the church. All of the communities that belong to all of us, because we're the church, not the building, correct? Yeah, okay. So, but we're going to start with local here and then broaden that. So we looked at all that and we wanted a mission statement that would be simple. You want a mission statement that people can repeat, that people can remember. You don't want it to be something where they walk out and they go, "Whoa, wait a minute, what was that middle part? I didn't get that." Or, you know, and you want it catchy. You want it something that people can pick up on and say, "Yeah, I get that. I see it." So we narrowed it to six words. And not only that, we want it to be something that was exciting. Something that we could get behind as a church. And as churches, There's a little bit of a limitation, because Jesus has said, here's the mission statement for the church at large. So you really can't veer much from the Great Commission, because Jesus has said, here's the mission of the church. Here's what I want you guys to do. But each church looks at their specific role in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so after all of this, let us go in and write down our new mission statement. Then we're going to talk a little bit about it. Let's go and write this down. It's growing in God, investing in people. Take that in, write it down. Growing in God, investing in people. When you first hear it, it's like, well, that's not really profound. But then when you start letting it kind of sink in, you're like, you know, that's got some depth to it. That's got some strength, some excitement to it. So in light of all the core values, let's talk about this a little bit. As I said, a mission statement should be clear. It should be easy to understand. It should be something that when people go to our website and they're checking our church out, they're going to go to this page and they're going to say, okay, what's this church's mission? What are their core values? What's this church about? What is their purpose? They need to be able to read this and immediately know, here's what this church is about. So let me kind of have a little bit of a litmus test here. I can't ever say that word very, right? Was that close? Litmus test? You just got to say it fast. So just right off the top, in your own words, what are some takeaway you guys get from this? We've had the core values, so you guys have a little bit of a cheat sheet there in your head because you've had 5 weeks of seeing the heart of the mission statement. Let me see, your own words. How do you describe this in your own words? How would you say this is what this means to me? Do what? Doing God's will. Growing in God, investing in people. Absolutely. What? Learning. Growing in God, that's learning. Investing in people, that's teaching. So teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's in there, right? Yeah, Great Commission. Oh, sorry, got Ken. Yeah, being kind, okay. Investing in people. Growing in God. As we grow in God, we become more like God. So, and he is, yes, sir, Ken.
Obey.
Yeah, grow in God, that's obedience. Investing in people, that's obedience. Absolutely. Love. Got what?
Love,
absolutely. Can't have a mission statement without love in it, huh? Yes, sir. You had another one.
Living it.
Yeah, it's very, we wanted to make sure it was very action-oriented, that it wasn't just grown in God. We're grown. We're there. We've arrived. Give us high fives. No, growing. There's an action. There's a movement to it. Growing in God. We are growing. And we're investing. You don't just invest. One more thing. What?
Forgiving.
Growing in God. Investing in people. Yes, ma'am. I think Lisa gets it a bit. She said, we're not a church of boundaries, and we're going to get out of our comfort zone a bit. Yes, that's what this mission is. And when Jesus gave the original mission statement, that's exactly what it was about. My church isn't going to have boundaries. Go into all the earth, and we're going to stay with it. I heard relationships over here, didn't I?
Relationship
with God and others. Yeah, that's that. The Jesus's rules there. You know, the top two commandments: love God, love others. It's right there. Grow in God, invest in others. Yes, sir. A future worth working for. Good one, Joe. Yeah. Okay. So yes,
outreach.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna dig into these a little more, and I'll preface this morning. You guys, I mean, we've known each other for a long time. I'm 2 days away from my anniversary, so 13 years. So I'm, what would that make? I'm 12 years, 363, right? 63 days, yeah. So but most Sundays you've got scripture up on the screen. You've got a bunch of scripture in your bulletin. I don't know if you noticed today or not, when you looked at your bulletin, that you might say, wait a minute, where's the scripture? There will be no scripture on the screen today. There's no scripture in your bulletin. There is scripture in the sermon. And the reason being, I'm going to be hitting scripture left and right, because what we're going to do is we're going to take the last 5 weeks. This is going to be a big review and a connection from the core values into our mission statements. And we dealt with a ton of scripture in the past month because our core values are very scriptural, thoroughly scriptural, to be so bold as to say that. And so our mission statement comes out of the core values come out of our mission statement. So all of those scriptures, all that we talked about the past 5 weeks, those things are right here in these six words. So let's connect these six words to some very specific pieces of our core values. So the first half of our mission statement, the first three words, you can go on and rewrite that down in your bulletin there. I didn't want to have that there because then it would give away the top. So growing in God. There is a personal piece to this. And it means that as a church, we are going to work on this as individuals. Now, as a church body, we are going to work to provide programs. We're going to work to make sure that there are areas that we can grow, that can encourage our growth, that we can be nurtured. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that as a mother, I nurtured you. As a father, I treated you as a father. It's very relational. The way Paul was talking about how he related to the Thessalonian church. And that's what we're going to be doing here. So yes, as a church, we are going to be providing opportunities for growth. But we need to also remember that this is a personal decision for every one of us to grow in God. Because no matter how many programs we have here, no matter what worship is like here, if it's the traditional worship today, or if it's the contemporary worship we have on all the other Sundays, if it's a Sunday school, if it's a small group, if it's a message here, no matter what programs we have in place, if we don't take personal responsibility for our growth in God, then it won't happen. We will not grow in God as a church if we're not personally committed to continually grow, to continually step it up, to continually be in an actively growing in God. Let's write this down. Responsible for personal maturity. It will be expected that we will each work to grow in God, to not just plateau, to not just get to a point where we say, yeah, I'm good enough. Because when we start getting to that point as individuals in the church, then the church gets to that point. And the church as a whole plateaus. Yeah, we're good enough. That's not what we're going to do here. Just as Lisa said, it's future growth. Or is that someone else said future growth? You said church without boundaries. Was that you, Joe? Yeah, future growth, a future of the church. This is our future. This has to work as a body of individuals committed to the same thing. We have this goal in front of us. It's a mission statement for us as the church at Miami Town to grow in God. That's going to be my goal, to step that up. Just like earlier this year. I mean, the celebration lunch that we're having, There were some people here that stepped up their giving. Some of us stepped up, you know, realized we'd kind of slid away from the 10%. Some of us stepped up back to the 10%. That was a big jump for some of us. Some of us were already there and just turned it up even more and more. And that's one aspect. This is a whole other aspect, but the same faith, the same thing. That it's going to take personal responsibility to say, I'm going to do my part. You can look in the bulletin and you can see the numbers. We've been above budget consistently this year. That isn't because of any one person. It's because everyone has been contributing. It's the same thing here with growing in God. If it's not every one of us saying, okay, I want to turn it up. I want to get more intense with my effort to reply to God's acquisition for a relationship with me. Because God is always pursuing us. He's always in pursuit, which is an amazing thought for me to get. That I don't feel very pursuable a lot of times. And God still wants me. He still wants to have conversations with me. He still wants me to call him dad. And he wants that tight. So we as individuals, we have to grow in God. And that's got to be a personal maturity that takes place. Our first core value states that God is first. We have no other gods. God is first. That means we will love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For us to grow in God as a church, we must be committed to these things as individuals if we're going to be instrumental in helping others grow in God. And we're going to get to that because that is a part of it. That's a part of growing in God, is helping others to grow into God, to be part of those programs and opportunities for growth to happen. But for that to happen, we have to have the self-discipline to grow ourselves. We have to have the self-discipline enough to say, core value number one, God is first. This is how I'm going to live. This is the priority for my life, to personally decide every day. Like when Moses recorded for the Israelites in the Ten Commandments, I will have no other gods. We need to wake up every morning and say that. There will be no other gods in my life. Say one God, and that is the God. And following him is the priority. I'm not going to worship other things. I'm not going to worship idols. I'm not going to put my trust in money or in my job or even in my relationship with my spouse. God is the priority. He is first, and that's how I'm going to live. And that takes personal discipline. That's a personal choice for every one of us. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is to love God and love others. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I will love God with all of who I am, with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. That's not just a one-time decision. That is a continual decision after we accept Christ. I remember backstage last week, Terry West was back there talking to Bill Schultz, who was baptized last week, which is awesome. You can see that in your bulletin. We have a celebration there of a couple of new family members added to the family, added to the kingdom last week, as Bill and Jane were baptized into Christ. And I got a chance to overhear Terry back there giving the pre-baptism pep talk and saying, you know, and Bill had described his that it was a journey to get to the point where he was ready to give his life to Christ. And Terry was sharing with him that this isn't just the end of a journey. This is the beginning of the journey. Okay, when every one of us were baptized into Christ, that was like the cap gun went off at a track meet. That was the starting line. That was the starting line. And then we run our race. And we run it hard until we finish. That's how we're to do. That's biblical. We run the race. What was that? Yes, we run such a way as not beating the air, you know. But just like an athlete trains to win the race, we run to win. So we decide fully that we are going to be fully dedicated to God. That following him is the priority, not just a priority, not one priority in our list of priorities. But that following God is such a priority that it is so much in first place that there really isn't anything else. There's one priority. It's first. It's first because it's the only. You know, like some of you guys who might have one child and you say, you're my favorite child. The priority. Jesus said that we should seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. We should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the priority. Our second core value states that we are devoted to God. Jesus said that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So we take that personally. I'm going to the next one there. Deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. We take that personally. We are devoted to God. And that is a tough statement by Jesus. There's no getting around that. Jesus says, my followers, if you want to be a follower of mine, here's what you're going to do. You will deny yourself. You will take up your cross and you will follow me. That's the deal. That's how Jesus lays it out. And he's crystal clear about it. We can't sweep that under the rug, church. Core value number two, we are going to take personal responsibility to be devoted to God and to grow in him because of our devotion to him. to be fully dependent on God because we've completely abandoned ourselves. We have a complete abandonment of self. Just like the disciples, they left everything to follow Jesus. Fishermen, they left their nets. They left their fishing boats. They left their job behind to follow Jesus. They left the family business. And that's how we're going to grow. We're going to grow because we live by faith. That's what core value number two really, really focuses around. That we're going to grow in God because we're going to be living in faith, because that's what it means to be fully dependent on God. We trust Him. We're going to live by faith. We obey Him, as Ken said, if I remember right. Wasn't that your word? Obey? Yep. We're willing to take risks when He asks us to take risks. When the Spirit told to Philip to go and stand by the chariots, he didn't know what he was getting into. When God led Paul into the various situations and circumstances that God led Paul into, half the time he had no idea what he was stepping into. But he went because he's obedient, because he had faith in God, because he was fully dependent on God, and because he completely abandoned himself to follow God. We must be willing to sacrifice for the kingdom when that's asked of us. To sacrifice knowing that the kingdom is going to benefit from that. We talked about Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To sacrifice takes faith. You can't sacrifice without faith. In Hebrews 11, Abraham is credited with faith because he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, his son, for God. And every time I think about that story, as a father, I think, this story should not be in the Bible. It's so wrong. But when Hebrews helps us to understand it, he's like, no, it wasn't as bad as you think it was. Abraham was taking this step of faith because Abraham reasoned that God had it in, he was going to take care of it. God gave him a promise. He said, you're going to have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky and sand on the seashore. Here's your one son that's going to happen through. And so Hebrews says that Abraham had reason, and he said, God can bring people back from the dead. I guess that's what's going to happen today. That sacrifice takes faith. We don't have just blind sacrifice without a purpose. We have sacrifice with a purpose. There might be a leap of faith that we can't see. But sometimes we can see what the purpose is, what the other side of that is, and we say, you know what? That's going to take a jump of faith. That jump of faith means sacrifice. And God's going to take care of me, however that goes. That's how we grow. We grow in God because we put our faith in Him. We're devoted to Him. We're dependent on Him. Without faith, how can any of us grow in God? How can we grow in God as a church without faith? That's why it's so, so very exciting for me. And some of you guys, I know there's different people that are kind of on the fringe of, you know, I don't want to go to church because all they talk about is money. So I avoid talking about that a whole lot. But what we've seen this year has been a very clear communicator that we have a church that's faithful in their hearts. And we can see it through the money that's been given. The money isn't what it's all about. The money is an indicator of what it is all about, and it's all about the hearts. And I celebrate that. And I look at that and I say, you know what? Our church is ready for this. Because you can see the heart of our church through the numbers on that page there. Our heart is a church is ready for this because we have stepped out in faith in February. And it wasn't just a little step out in faith. Ooh, wait a minute, can't do that. No, it's a step out in faith and then your knee gets crushed and you have to be off work and you're sitting there going, you know, just like the video we shared from Dave a few weeks ago. Okay, I committed to God and then now I don't have a job for a while. How does this work? They stayed faithful. And he's back up and walking around faster than they expected him to be. He had to go to physical therapy sessions that he didn't need to go to because they had to get a certain number of them in to pass him off insurance-wise. Am I telling that? True story. He's showing up to physical therapy and they're like, okay, we have to do this. It's a formality. You can't leave without having X number of visits, but you were done like 2 visits ago. That's awesome. That's God taking care of Dave. Because Dave stepped out on faith. As a church, if we're going to grow in God collectively, it's going to take faith as a church. And I tell you, that is a thing. That is a phenomenon that I'm excited to see happen here. We've seen it some this year. I'm excited to see it as it spills over into other areas of our church, that our church is willing to step out in faith and follow the vision that God gives us and go where he wants us to go and do what he wants us to do. And I believe wholeheartedly that we are in a season and a place right now in our church where the field is ripe for that. We have a church of faithful hearts. Luke 9:62, we read the words of Jesus as he says that no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We are devoted as individuals and as a church. Keep your hands to the plow, church. We're not looking back. We're moving forward. The past is back there. We've learned from it. There'll be times to pull some of the lessons back. But there's a line in the sand, August 5th, 2018. Keep your hand to the plow. Let's move forward. Amen. Taking personal responsibility to grow God's kingdom. So here's the other part of this. We have a personal responsibility for our own maturity. It's not going to happen if we aren't all committed to that. But then there is also a personal responsibility to grow God's kingdom. Grow in God. Growing in God. It's not just me, but it's us as a church growing in God. And that means that I have to do my part. I have to take the gift that God has given me. You have to take the gift that God has given you. And we all contribute. And we all work towards that goal that we want to see people, we want to see the church, we want to see those who have been Christians for 50 years, those who have been Christian for 1 year, we want to see every one of us growing in God. And we want to see that happening in different ways. In the Great Commission, as we've already referenced this once today, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that mission statement has two parts. You're going to make disciples. Two ways you're going to increase disciples. So let's write that down. We're going to increase. That means more disciples. We are going to grow God's kingdom. That's core value number three, connecting in with the mission statement. We're going to grow God's kingdom by growing in God personally, but also growing in God by bringing other people in. By growing, by people coming in. That word is it shows up twice in our mission statement. 6 words, and 2 of them are the same word, in and in. In. We want that idea. In. We go out, but we grow in God. We invest in people. People come into the kingdom. We grow God's kingdom. And we're going to be about doing that. And that means increasing the numbers. That means being evangelical in our hearts. How are we going to do that? Well, we got core values 4 and 5 we talked about, where we actively invest in others. That's how we're going to grow and increase the number of God's disciples. We're going to actively invest into other people. You can see that word connected directly into the second half of our mission statement. We are going to connect with people. Core value number 5. We will be instrumental in growing God's kingdom in numbers when we intentionally invest this way into other people. We will be growing in God as a church numerically. We will see more souls sitting side by side with your soul. And we'll probably have to go back to 2 services. And in 3 services, if we're faithful, that's what's going to happen. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a church that says, God, it's not about us. We want your will. We want you to be exalted here. We want you to run with this, and we will be faithful and obedient, and we'll be, you know, we'll take risks. We put you first. We're devoted to you. We're devoted to growing your kingdom. We want to actively invest into other people. We want to connect with people. We want to grow in God and invest in people. Growing in God, investing in people. And that's the kind of church that God can say, all right, let's rock and roll. We'll be instrumental in that. Actively investing in others. Core value number 4. Actively investing in those who are outside the church. Actively investing in those who have become distant from the church for some reason or another. Actively investing in others who are outside of our church family. And we connect with those people. Just the way Jesus connected. I think I'm all right to share this. I had a text back and forth with Jim. Jim had his first gig with his band here, low budget. Talking about you, Jim. It'll be good though, I think. We were texting back and forth, and I was asking him if the venue was something that I could bring the boys to. And he said, yeah, he said, you know, it's a Blue Note. There'll be some people drinking there. He said, I've got a diverse group of friends, I think is how he worded it. And my reply, what was my reply? Do you remember? So did Jesus. So did Jesus. And he replied, indeed. Jesus hung out with the drunkards. He hung out with the tax collectors, which we don't really make that connection nowadays because we're like, well, you know, no one really likes them. But, you know, no, back then they were bad, bad, bad. It wasn't just something where it was a discomfort to pay taxes. They were cheats. They were dishonest. They were, you know, sinners and tax collectors. That was the group. And Jesus hung out with those people. So we will be connecting with all sorts of different people. We have to be strong enough to do that. That's where the personal maturity comes in. A lot of spider webs today. A lot of tying things in. So we grow our personal maturity. We're growing in God. That allows us to connect with people outside and be strong in doing that. Now sometimes that can be dangerous. If you're not growing in God and you're connecting with those on the outside, you can easily get pulled in. That can be a danger. We have to grow in God so that we can do that. Connect with people outside. And those same 2 core values, actively investing in others and connecting with people, not only help us to grow in numbers, but it also helps us to grow in the second part of the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go into all the world and make more disciples. You baptize them, you make more disciples, and then you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so that's the second part. We will develop disciples. That's in our 3rd core value, growing God's kingdom. To increase and develop devoted followers of Christ. So we develop deeper disciples. That's what we're doing with developing disciples. We're making deeper disciples. And that's right here. That's this group here. To grow God's kingdom by actively investing in each other. By taking responsibility for each other. By being brothers and sisters in Christ and helping us to hold strong. Holding each other accountable. Encouraging each other. To grow God's kingdom by connecting with each other. That fellowship events like today. We're going to enjoy some grilled out hamburgers and hot dogs. We're going to enjoy some ice cream sundaes. But it's going to be more than that. We're going to hear some testimonies about how God is taking care of his faithful followers. And so that takes fellowship to another level. We're growing in God together. We're connecting together on a level that's bigger than hamburgers. Bigger, I think I can say, is bigger than caramel on ice cream and peanuts. But we want fellowship that really connects us, church. not just surface level, not just, oh, it's nice to go. But that when we have an event that none of us want to miss it, none of us want to miss it because it is another opportunity to connect with the church family, to grow deeper together, to grow stronger together as a family. And we'll want that. We'll want to be part of that. Let me see where I'm at here. So we grow God's kingdom. We're responsible for our personal growth and maturity. We're responsible for helping others to connect with Jesus, making more disciples, increasing devoted followers of Christ. And we're responsible for helping others grow. That's making deeper disciples, growing in God. Now, the second half of the mission statement, investing in people. Let's write that down again. Growing in God, investing in people. Holy cow. Core value number four, which is actively investing. We talked about the understanding that we are to commit as a church to do whatever it takes to reach people with the gospel. Doing whatever it takes to reach people with the gospel. We are going to pour into others to do this, to invest into other people. To make an investment. An investment is to put a deposit into something with the expectation of getting a return. To give into someone with the goal that that's going to result into something. That's how Jesus invested into us. That's how we see Paul. Paul says he poured his life out. Paul poured into things, into people. And what he did was, and we reviewed this when we were talking about that sermon a few weeks ago, that he became all things to all people. We need to follow that same example, to become all things to all people so that we might win some. To make a deposit with an expectation of some return. We're not compromising our beliefs to do that, but we're going to do all we can to reach people where they are, to do whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. And we do this because God is first. Let's write that down. Because God is first, and we are devoted to God. Core value 1 and 2. We're going to do whatever it takes because God is first and we're devoted to God. We know that God wants us to invest into others. We know that God wants us to reach out to others, to love others, to show Christ to others. We know that God wants us to do whatever it takes. And when we've stepped out in faith with a lifestyle that says, I'm denying myself, I'm going to take up my cross and follow God. I'm going to be in full dependence of God because I am in complete abandonment of myself. And I'm just going to fully trust God. Then when we hear that statement to do whatever it takes, it's not intimidating. It's not scary. It's just kind of like, okay, are we just saying the same thing again? It's application of core value number 2 that we see here in this core value of doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Core value number 4. And that takes faith. How debilitating is it to try to invest into others without denying ourselves? You can't do it. Kind of like the kid that sticks his hand in the cookie jar and grabs a handful so big he can't get his hand out of the jar. You just can't do it. You can't really invest into others when you're hanging on to yourself. And we don't let go of ourselves for others. There's a triangle involved. We let go of ourselves to follow God. We let go of ourselves because of our obedience to God, because of our devotion to God, our dependence on God. And we abandon ourselves, and what that does, it frees us up to be a conduit for him with like zero resistance so that we can give and we can invest into others and God can invest into others through us. And that only happens when we give him our life fully. We deny ourselves out of our relationship to God, and then that process frees us up to invest into other people. Really make a difference for his kingdom. The urgency, let's write this down, the urgency to win souls drives us. We talked about this when we talked about core value number 4. That winning souls was Paul's motivation. Our focus scripture that day was 1 Corinthians. But you'll see this motivation scattered throughout Paul's letters. You see it in the documentary of the book of Acts. We talked about this in our sermon on core value number 5, where Peter viewed the urgency of this matter, where he said that the end of all things is near. There is an urgency. We know the power of the gospel message. We live in a sin, sick, and dying world. There's an urgency there. We know that Jesus will return. We have the same truths that Paul had, the same truths that Peter had. Just because it's been 2,000 years doesn't mean that we can kind of sit back on things and grab an easy chair and say, you know what, we got plenty of time. No. We know the power of the gospel. We have people that need the gospel, and we know that Jesus is coming back. It must be an urgent matter for us to do whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Because we understand, as Paul shared in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel message, in jars of clay, in earthen vessels, in just regular old pots and jars, in modern day terminology, in Tupperware. Just regular containers, Dixie cups. That's all we are. What's special is the Kool-Aid. What's special is what's inside, the treasure that we hold. We are Christ's ambassadors, borrowing from Paul's language in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's write this down. This goes hand in hand with what Lisa was hitting on earlier. Our church will not limit the boundless gospel. Our church will not limit the boundless gospel. We will not be a bottleneck for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. We will not be, I have to be careful when I type this line. I was like, oh man, I don't know. And okay, so we will not be a dam for the gospel. We're not going to slow the flow. We're not going to stop things. We're not going to turn it down. We're not going to be a control factor. I couldn't figure out another way of describing that better than a dam. We're just let it go. Let it flow. We're not going to stand in the way. We're not going to limit the boundless gospel. I'm embarrassed that time after time, God's very own church is often what limits the boundless gospel. We've seen it so many different places. I can't be in control of those different places. I can't be in control of you, but I have a responsibility as a shepherd to do what I can to lead our church to not do that. And we're at a great time for that to be a message that is preached now. We're not going to be a bottleneck. We must stay focused on this. There are so many things that can cause distractions, so many things that can throw us off course, so many things that Satan will use to knock us off center. Church, we can't afford to let that happen, because as soon as that starts happening, we start becoming a bottleneck. We start putting limits. We're going to be a church of faith, a church that trusts God, a church that is devoted to God, a church that puts God first, that says that we're going to do whatever it takes to grow God's kingdom. We have the gospel of Jesus. People need that gospel. People are dying right in our backyard. Not physically, spiritually. You have people in your circle of friends. They need the gospel of Jesus. We are not going to be the limiting factor. Amen? Amen? We are not going to limit the boundless gospel of Jesus. We're going to invest in people by connecting with people. I got to hit these. Boom, boom, boom. Just like I talked about last week, building real relationships through compassion. So write that down as a review. That's a heartfelt concern showing itself in actions of love. Many times in the gospel, we see that Jesus, it's spoken of very clearly. The gospel writers made it clear to share with us. Jesus had compassion And every time we see that, we see Jesus acting on his compassion. Our definition of compassion is different than Merriam-Webster's definition. Our definition of compassion is connected to action. Because Jesus' compassion was always accompanied by actions of love. He expects the same out of us. Colossians 3:12 says, clothe yourselves with compassion. We are going to connect with other people through service. Humbly giving ourselves to serve others. We're going to invest into other people by connecting with them through service. In John chapter 13, we have the record of Jesus at the Last Supper taking off his outer garment, taking on the image of a house servant and washing the disciples' feet. And then Jesus makes it very clear after he finishes. He says, do you understand what I have done for you? He says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another humbly in love. 1 Peter 4 says, use whatever gift you have received to serve each other. We're gonna invest in the people through connecting with people in service, in compassion, in service, and in support. We're going to invest in the people by connecting with them, and we're going to do that through support. Strengthening others through assistance and encouragement. Our note last week. We are going to encourage one another daily, according to Hebrews 3:13, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I have a text I want to share with you as we close there. With that thought there, let me make sure I can read the whole text. Okay, yeah, I can do that. This is from Nicole West. If you remember, she came forward with her family last week, and we had two prayer requests from them. She had an unspoken, a private prayer request, and then we are praying for Don, and I will give you an update with him in just a moment, and we will spend some special time there. She says, hey, Dusty, and this was this morning. Hey, Dusty, I just wanted to let you know that my silent prayer got answered. Praise the Lord. I'm not sure if you want to announce it today, but I really appreciate the prayers and support. She used that word. The prayers and support from our church family during a very difficult time. I received a couple of encouraging cards from church members this week too. Whoever you are, high five. Good job. Be in the church. It made me feel very loved and strengthened my faith. Go on back. That was our note from last week. Strengthening, support, strengthening others. It's what we're doing as a church when we do that. Here's real life, right here, real time evidence. My phone turned off. It made me feel very loved and strengthened my faith. It is amazing how God is using our church to encourage and support one another. I want to thank everyone for their prayers and support. I said, that's very good news, all of it. Thanks for sharing. There might be a spot in the sermon to share that. So, church, we're at a great time. Take this, digest it, take these core values, the mission statement, learn it, repeat it, put it places in your house, put it in your car, put it in your purse, put it in your wallet, put it everywhere so you can see it. I'll have these pamphlets and these half sheets out at the information center. We've got a special spot for them out there. And so you'll be able to take these and be able to have the core values. They're available on our website. So we've got all sorts of different avenues of being able to take that and learn it and learn it and learn it and learn it and learn it. Repeat after me, growing in God. Investing in people. Growing in God. Investing in people. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for where you have led our church. That we are in a time now where we get a chance to see some really, really exciting things. Your direction, your mission, specifically for your church here at Miami Town. Father, I ask that we would be faithful and that we would continue in the same vein that we have started in at the beginning of this year. That this wouldn't only be a faith in our finances, but much, much, much bigger than that. It'd be a faith in our actions, a faith in the amount of risk that we're willing to take for your kingdom, a faith that we are fully dependent on you, a faith that we are going to do whatever it takes to move your kingdom forward. Father, that we are your church that you can use in however you want to use us, that we're not going to limit you by saying, no, we're not doing this or we're not doing that. No, whatever you want. And I hope that my prayer is a representation of all the hearts here, that we would pray to you this morning. We would say, God, our Father, your will be done in heaven and on earth, that you would have your way with us and we would be just your arms, your legs, your mouthpiece, whatever you want us to be to benefit your kingdom. We lay our lives to you, down to you as servants. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.